I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Of the community, 404-892-2703. We invited Fonnie Willis to the show. We had set aside from 5 to 7. Of course, we are a little bit late. And we've just been informed that she has until 6 o'clock because she has another event. Fonnie Willis, how are you?
I'm excellent. I was interested to hear from that doctor, but I'm sorry we didn't get to start right at 5 o'clock. But I'm sure we'll make the most of this 40 minutes right that we do have together.
All right. Tell everybody, introduce yourself. Tell everybody who Fonnie Willis is, kind of your curriculum vitae, and why are you running for district attorney of Fulton County?
Thank you, sir. My name is Fonnie Willis. That is an African, it's a Swahili name, and it means prosperous. I am a mother. I am originally from Los Angeles by way of Washington, D.C. My parents raised me bi-coastal. I came to live in Georgia in 1993 to attend Emory University School of Law after proudly graduating from the one and only Howard University. I graduated in 1996. When I came out, I came and I worked for a small law firm on the south side of town over in East Point. Did work, you know, just community work for the first 4 years of my career. A lot of criminal defense work, a lot of family law. I used to say we did whatever came through the door with some money, we would try to help those people in the community. I did that the first 4 years of my career. I went on from there, sir, and worked for the Honorable Raines Carter with the City of Solicitor, with the City Solicitor's Office here in Atlanta. Did that for about a year and a half, a little bit more than a year and a half. Went in October of 2001 and worked at the District Attorney's Office. I was there from 2001 until 2018. Literally have served in almost every division of the office, not all of them, but almost all of them. I've tried well in excess of 100 cases. I'm just well in excess of that as first chair. Most of those cases, homicides, but also, of course, rapes, child molestations, armed robberies, you name it, the gamut. I, while doing there, supervised the largest division of the office, which is 25 lawyers. Those lawyers tried what I call all the bread and butter cases, your armed robberies, your aggravated assaults, your kidnappings, your drug cases. So I was responsible for that unit for quite a time there at the DA's office. I left in 2018, opened my own practice, kind of went back to my roots, became a criminal defense lawyer again, and did some family law. I was raised by a single father, and so my heart is always with fathers. And so in my family law practice, I tend to represent men that are going through battles with, you know, their children and child support and child custody. I also had the honor of serving the city of South Fulton as the chief municipal court judge. When I decided to run for this office, because judges are nonpartisan and this is a partisan race, I had to resign so that I could stay in compliance with the ethics rules. I am running to be the first female district attorney of this county because, quite frankly, the office is broken. The way we are doing business is not serving the community as well as it could. It is my position that the district attorney's office in Fulton County should be the absolute premier office between Miami and Washington, D.C. It should really be a role model for all offices throughout this country. I plan, when I am the district attorney, to start some programs that are really focused on the youth. I think we have to catch these kids early, make sure that they do not become part of the criminal justice system. And if you've ever heard me speak, one of the things that I am most excited about is I am going to create a diversion program that is really targeted at first offenders of any age, and even maybe sometimes some second-time offenders who really have just made a silly mistake, and we are going to send those people into those diversionary programs before we ever indict the case. That is going to save so many people from having that scarlet letter of an indictment on them. The other thing that I think is very, very broken with that office is the current district attorney brags about being able to charge people within 45 minutes. I'm going to turn the way they do business upside down on their head. We, when we receive cases, will not be indicting them. We will be properly investigating them. I believe and I am sure, because I have been an attorney so long, that that is going to lead to thousands and thousands of people not being charged because it's inappropriate for them to be charged, and it's going to save so many families from that expense. But it's also going to do something on the other side. We will have the evidence that we need on those cases that are the most serious, and we will be able to prosecute them and get those victims the justice that they deserve. And so those are some of just the preliminary things. I know you have questions,
yep.
And I want to allow you and your audience to get to those questions. But those are some of the basic reasons that I would like to serve as the next district attorney. Those are some of the reasons that I am going to make an excellent first female district attorney of this county and of this community.
You served for nearly 16, 17 years.
I served for 16 years, four months, and 4 days, but who's counting, sir?
And during that time, was the office broken then while you were serving and supervising, or did it just get broken after you left in 2018?
And I am so glad that you asked that.
Let me finish. Did you make any recommendations while you were a supervisor there on how to fix it?
So let me tell you something. Yes, I would say that there was a portion that was broken while I was there, and I made recommendations. And I am so glad that you asked that question. So I mentioned that I was a supervisor over this 25 lawyers in what is called the complex division. That is the division, sir, that, as I said, it does your armed robberies, your aggravated assaults, your kidnappings, your drug trafficking cases, your burglaries, those cases. What we would regularly see is that charging unit, that unit he brags about indicting people in 45 minutes, we would receive cases. By the time the cases have gotten to us, gotten to the attorneys that report to us, we would begin to, at that point, do an investigation. You have to understand, at that point, that person is already indicted. They've already had a couple of court dates. And when we would begin to investigate, we would see that the facts in the case are just garbage. And so repeatedly.
And they were garbage coming from who?
It was garbage coming from the, meaning the evidence was not there, meaning when
and
you.
And that evidence provided by the police department?
The evidence provided by whoever would have been the complaining witness, the evidence that was provided by the police department. Because let's talk about that. When the police make an arrest, their arrest is based on the lowest standard of the law, probable cause. We all know that. We hear that term. But for your listeners who aren't, you know, they don't aren't in the criminal justice system, that is really just a very low standard, probable cause. When a district attorney takes a case to trial, you want to take that case to trial with the highest standard in the law.
Did you ever have to say to the police, here's what I got to do, fun. We got to keep the question real short because you don't kind of cut our time.
Well, you cut our time too, sir. So
no, I got until 7 o'clock.
I got until
7 o'clock.
I promise you, if you invite me back, I have a forum at 6 o'clock with the Collier Heights community. I thought that we were here from 5 to 6. I am sorry for any confusion, certainly be welcome to come back to your program.
We're gonna get it in. We got about another 20 minutes. I'm gonna ask you a series of questions.
Let me finish this up so I can answer this one completely for you. And so when we would get the cases, we would find that that's all that was there, was this probable cause standard. But because they had been charged in 45 minutes, somebody had been caught up in the criminal justice system, like I said, for these months. And so what would happen at that point is, once we would investigate, I would often find that we would have to dismiss cases, and I would sign off on that. Or I would find we had to go out and then do a complete investigation, and we would find that the evidence was there. Oftentimes, we would find that, you know what, there's evidence of something here, but it's not as great of a charge as what they charge. Right. Maybe it's just a misdemeanor. Maybe it's not a burglary. Maybe it's actually a criminal trespass that really should have been handled in misdemeanor court. And so I would say to you that it is broken. You asked me, did I ever make any
recommendations? Yeah, and I'm saying, so you fixed that while you were there.
Well, let me tell you what I would advise you.
All right, hold on. Let's do this. We're going to go. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to ask you about your participation in prosecution of the Atlanta teachers.
Okay, and I'm going to finish answering this one, and then we'll get to that one.
And we're going to need you to answer real short and tight so you can get to the Collier Heights Association. We'll be back in a moment. There's Too Much Truth with Derek Bozeman on News and Talk 1380 WLK. that Officer Ralph, who murdered, many of us believe it was in fact a case of murder, shot twice in the back, a man unarmed, fleeing. You've been critical of the current DA's indictment, if you will, or charge.
We the realest man on TV, keeping it real.
What we're not going to do is holler and yell, because that's disrespectful and is not professional. Okay, let's call it whatever it is. I'm not an attorney. You are. So let's use whatever nomenclature. The charging of, would you have charged this officer if you were the DA?
Okay, so the first thing I want to say so that we're clear is I know you were concerned about time, and I am available. I just looked at my schedule Wednesday, Friday, or Monday so we could finish this conversation if you find it necessary. If there's anything that we don't get to, because I want to make sure that you and your listeners have adequate time. And
would you have charged Officer Ralph in this case?
Oh, I'm definitely going to get there. There's not a question you're going to ask I'm not going to get to.
Would you have charged Officer Ralph in this case? It's funny. Well, look. We're asking questions. You told me you got 20 minutes. We don't have time to go over Round Robin Hood bomb. Would you have charged Officer Ralph in this case or not?
So let me go back to the last question so it can be complete. In the last question, you asked me, did I ever make recommendations about fixing the problems that I saw that were broken? And one of the things that I suggested that be done in that is that we do proper investigations, in particular with armed robberies and aggravated assaults, because that was of grave concern to me, which is why one of the principles and one of the foundations of my campaign.
Funny, what you're doing now, sister, is not... It's not that. What you're doing is eating up the time, and you know
it. I'm not eating up your time.
You're playing games, and you're eating up the time because you called and said you only had a few moments after I offered you to 7 o'clock. You said you had another. You didn't tell me prior to this you had another forum, and now what you're doing is eating up time. I asked you a question. Would you have charged Officer Ralph, who shot Rashad Brooks twice in the back, or would you have let this officer continue to work in the Atlanta Police Department uncharged? That's a simple yes or no answer.
So what my foundation is that in every case, I will do an appropriate investigation, which was my recommendation back then, and which is my recommendation for every single citizen in society. That means all of citizens that just go and work and play here. That means police officers, and that means elected
officials. And you do not believe that a proper investigation has occurred yet?
So that we are clear, in each and every case that comes to the office when I serve as the district attorney, we are going to do complete and full investigation.
So you do not believe a investigation has been completed and the fact pattern that was laid out by the current district attorney is valid. Where we see the officer kicked Rashad. Now let's get back to the question. So you're saying you would have not at this point and accused this officer and charged him.
So what's been done at this point, because you're right, it is very important that the listeners do know exactly what's been done. What the district attorney has done at this stage is issue an arrest warrant. Right. An arrest warrant is not an indictment. I believe what the family, I've lost someone to homicide. I don't know if you ever have, but it is a horrifically painful experience. And I know as the family of someone that has lost someone, what you always want is justice. And so what you always want is an indictment and ultimately a conviction. And so my procedure will be to do complete investigations.
And you do not believe one has been done.
If you'll let me complete my answer. Mm-hmm. One thing you said was that we saw this officer kick someone. I don't believe that's accurate. We saw a steel shot, and I would like to see the video. Okay. I am at a grave disadvantage to this district attorney. Okay. I do not have all
so
of the
So the answer to that is that you would wait for a full investigation. You would.
Well, first of all, I don't even know the investigation that the district attorney has, nor do you.
Well,
here's
the thing. I'm very clear on privy to all we can now operate on is what we know in the public. So at this point, you would say that officer still should be working unfettered with the Atlanta Police Office.
Absolutely not. At this point, I think he should be doing what Keisha Lance Bottoms did, which was she decided he was not appropriate for her police force, and she let him go.
Okay.
What I would be doing at this stage is a complete investigation, one where I did the investigation that may have been conducted by this DA's office, as you and I don't have the information in this DA's office hands. Also, I would wait for the GBI investigation. Complete investigation.
Now, you do know that it does not require this same Vic Reynolds GBI. So you're going to wait for Vic Reynolds, who failed to indict in Cobb County when he was the district attorney just 3 years ago in the Nick Thomas case where officers murdered that boy as he was leaving over some parking tickets. We're supposed to wait on him, but that's fine. If we put this much confidence in the GBI, that's crazy because they have a GBI director that wouldn't even indict for the murder of a young African American male when he was a district attorney. So his recommendation. Let's go to the point where you.
May I respond? Am I going to be given the opportunity to respond?
Go right ahead.
What I would do is have both that investigation and a complete investigation from my office. But upon having a complete investigation, certainly many, many officers will be charged. This is the reality. With the current district attorney, you have 43 excessive force cases. You said you supervise
every unit. Did you ever supervise any cases where Atlanta police officers were involved?
No, the unit that I was over is the complex division.
Okay, so you never in your career supervised any cases where Atlanta police officers were involved?
Of course, Atlanta police officers made arrests. Is that what you mean? Okay.
Yeah, no, they were accused or they were involved in police shooting. You never supervised.
I was never in the public integrity unit at all.
Okay, so that means you do not know what goes into the prosecution of a police officer.
I know what goes into
if you've never prosecuted a officer.
No,
I'm asking a question. I'm asking you a question. Have you ever supervised, been in the courtroom with a officer that was charged with misconduct? You never tried one of those cases?
No, what I do know, sir, is that how to do an investigation.
Okay. But the answer is no.
An investigation of an officer will involve looking at the
But the answer
the
to the question is you've never prosecuted them
you
in your
60
years.
Are you going to
allow
me to answer questions today, Mr. Bozeman?
Absolutely. The answer is simply yes or no.
May I complete my answer?
Yes, absolutely.
What I know how to do after 24 years of practicing law, as evaluating cases as a defense attorney, as a judge, and as a prosecutor for 18 years when you take my time in the solicitor's office and the DA's office, is how to evaluate a case.
All right,
and
let's
I
get to what we...
certainly will be able to look at a fact pattern, sir, and make a decision as to whether they have followed the rules and broken the law.
And you have not did that in your career
right now, someone that will have the courage to charge
but,
when charges
all right, let's say
appropriate.
Would
you
have
right now is a DA who has failed to charge 43 cases. Let's be honest. He's had cases sitting on his desk since 2016.
Right. We got you. Now, why did you feel it necessary, or you feel it no conflict with you taking a donation from the very lawyer who's representing Officer Ralph? You accepted a campaign donation from the guy who's representing him.
The district attorney feel no conflict?
I ain't asking him. I'm asking about Fonnie Willis. I'm asking about Fonnie Willis. Did you or did you not take a donation from the attorney representing Officer Ralph? And you said you had no problem with that.
Mr. Pines gave money to me, Christian Wise.
But I'm saying, did you feel it was necessary? And if you are the DA, this case may come before you. You don't believe that is an inherent conflict of interest?
Listen, most of the money that I have received in my campaign...
I ain't know about most. I'm talking about this specific donation.
Well, if I may answer it.
Okay.
The current district attorney took money from the other attorney on this case. So you want to say, money from an attorney on this case, but the truth is the district attorney took money from the other attorney on this case.
But what you're trying to do is make a correction of what you see is the current district attorney bad behavior. You saw no problem with accepting the money from that from this attorney?
That the current district attorney took.
But what about, do you see Fonnie Willis' bad behavior of accepting a campaign contribution for a man who, many of us believe murdered a black man, and you see no problem with that?
Listen, sir, I want to make sure that we're very clear and that your listeners are very, very clear. The current district attorney took money from Officer Bronson.
But who did Fonnie Willis take money from?
I am willing to answer the questions if you'll allow me to.
You keep going back to what that district attorney did. I'm trying to say for Fonnie Willis, who it says she's a reformer, you have no problem at all from a case that is ash hot out here, that has had young people in the streets protesting, that has turned this city upside down, inside out. And if the attorney, I give campaign money too. If the attorney is giving money to your, I don't give in these climates. But at the end of the day, you have no problem with accepting that campaign contribution, yes or no?
Listen, sir, I have answered very clearly. Mr. Pines gave money to Christian Wise Smith. Mr. Pines gave money to me. Don Samuels, the other attorney on this case, gave money to Paul Howard. Most of the contributors to my campaign are defense attorneys.
You and Paul should have told them, I don't want your money. This case is currently before us, and it has caused such a consternation. I don't want your money.
I think that defense attorneys, as well as community leaders, as well as radio activists like yourself, should all invest in the community. They should invest in the next district attorney.
But you should
understand is that my soul is not for sale. I'm not selling cases over here.
Any
defense attorney that gave me money.
But that might be a benefit in you saying to the community position, we understand the hurt y'all feeling, and this $1,000 is not worth me having to even explain it to y'all or leave conflict when this case comes before. You said you have
so
to
do you
that,
believe, you, sir, may I ask you a question? Do you believe that the district attorney
I'm the interviewer, Fonnie. You got to go.
A conflict because he accepted
you got to go.
$50 from Don
Let
Samuel
me ask you this. Look, do you have to go? Because I can stay here. I'm here to 7 o'clock. I can talk to 7, but you said you had to leave.
I have to leave at 6, but I'm also
Okay, well, hold on. We'll take that up.
I would love to spend some more time with you, sir.
We got to go to a break. When we come back, we'll let you finish that, and then we'll ask you about the Atlanta teachers case. Were you proud of your prosecution of the teachers? On a ballot to be a candidate should receive our appreciation. The only thing that politics need is good people in it. And so we thank Fonnie Willis for coming on. And we know she got another event. But finally, let's talk about the Atlanta teachers prosecution. That was a hard burn for a lot of people. People felt it was too much. Talk about that. Are you proud of the convictions that came out of that? And do you think the judge with his sentences of 10 years went too far? Or do you believe that those teachers got everything they deserved?
First of all, the Atlanta Public Schools case, it was decided the way the charges would be brought by the only person who could make the decisions on how the case should be brought, and that is the sitting district attorney. So that was a decision of how you bring that case of Paul Howard. I am not sure what you're talking about with 10 years. Not one person in that case was charged.
Well, that was the recommendation. Now, we know that Judge Baxter made the recommendation that they serve either a combination of probation or in jail imprisonment. We can go with the 3 years that he gave. People saying, was this over prosecution? And you participated in that. So,
well, this is what I would say to you, Mr. Bozeman, and this is what has been really a heartbreak to me. See, first of all, I know the current district attorney tried to sell that case. I can assure you, as the district attorney, that is unethical. I would go so far as to tell you that that is illegal, and I would never participate in such a thing. So I do want to state that because that's where the facts are as we stand here today. But if someone asked me about Atlanta Public Schools, I'm going to tell you something that would really often break break my heart and continues to break my heart, because the one thing about me is you can record me over and over, I'm always going to be the same. I believe that African-American children matter. I believe that poor African-American children matter. And I unfortunately had too much of the middle class come to me and say that basically these kids weren't ever going to be anything, except they didn't say it quite that nicely, because they were poor and because they were black. And I tell people all the time, and I'll tell you, I have an undying love for black people. Mm-hmm. I have an undying love for black children. I completely understand that they are the ones that are going to take care of me and you. They are absolutely the way to the future. And so I sat on the couches with a lot of mothers who didn't have my education, but what they had was the same thing I have, which is I love my babies and they love their babies, mm-hmm. and they wanted what was best for their children. And so I was never interested in not one educator or one teacher going to jail. I offered every one of them before the indictment that we do some kind of diversionary program where all they would do was actually do community service, and the community service was to be to get those children on grade level. Even after the indictment came, we offered misdemeanors and the community defender, so it would be record, and the community service again was going to be that you do community service so that we can get these babies on their grade level. And so after an 8-month trial, you know, at that point, sentencing is outside the hands of the prosecutor. Certainly. It's in the hands of the judge. And I believe what he sentenced was the lowest of in the educational system, which was the teachers, was 1 year. I think there was some 2 years from like some vice principals. And then the SRTs, which were the regional directors that had been really bullies to the principals and the teachers, those were the people that he recommended 3 years. I've been, even after conviction, we offered that you still don't need to go to jail. Why don't you just do community service? And as you'll remember, 11 were convicted, and 3 jumped on that right away and said, this has gone far enough. We're just going to do our little community service. We're going to be done with this. The other 8 decided to appeal. But I can honestly tell you, even as I sit here today, I never then, and I don't now, have any need for a teacher or an educator to go to jail. I think that that's completely unnecessary. But I will never say, and if I die with them criticizing me, you're never going to hear me say those children don't matter. I just sat with too many crying mamas about how their kids got cheated, okay. And I'm willing to
say
that.
So you're proud of everything you did with respect to that case?
I am proud of the fact that I represented children. I am proud of the fact that I tried to offer teachers community service just for a recognition that, hey, we shouldn't have been involved in this, or educators, because really it was more of the higher-ups, we shouldn't have been involved in this, and we'll do community service. I think that community service, and community service that's real specific, because I always think community service should go back to the community you hurt. Okay. And in this case, the community that was hurt was black and brown, poor children. So I am proud that the offer was, hey, why don't you do some community service for these children? I don't have any interest or need or desire for an educator to go to jail. It's just not necessary. Gotcha. It doesn't serve the point is for the kids to get on grade level so they can have a future. Because what you and I know, and I saw time and time again, is these kids that were cheated, by 10th grade, they dropped out of school, and too often we saw them as defendants in the criminal justice system, which is why I am so committed and so interested in, when I am the DA, we are going to start these youth programs, and we're going to have this pre-indictment diversion program, because I know they got a raw deal.
We got you. But Atlanta Public School had 60% job drop rate among African-American male, and that had been uninterrupted for the last 25 years.
But because something is so, don't mean that it should be so.
You're absolutely right about that. So we'll
we don't want to see that. I want to see our African-American male soar. You and I both know that whenever I am in a setting with African-American males, they are typically leaders. They are typically some of the smartest. Yes, people learn differently, but there is absolutely no reason that our African-American boys are not just soaring and taking over the
country.
Let's
get to, because we got another minute. The Atlanta Police Union have endorsed you. Are you proud of their endorsement as well?
I have been endorsed, sir, by the Georgia Association of Black Women Attorneys, while Women of the West, which is an organization that supports
Democratic
women.
Now, what about the Atlanta Police
Union? I'm about to tell you. Can you let me finish?
Well, I didn't ask you about Wild West. I did not ask you about any of those. I asked you about Atlanta Police.
And I'm going to get to it. I want you to let me get to it, okay?
Okay.
Can you let me get to it and we can be friends?
We can go straight there. We're going to be friends because I respect you. But listen, I got 1 minute because you got to leave early now.
I ain't going to do it with you. You're going to let me answer.
Okay, so the Atlanta Police Union endorsed you. Are you proud of their endorsement?
Listen, sir. I was endorsed by Voter Pro Choice. That's the third organization. I was endorsed by IPBO, and I have been endorsed by 20 Democratic elected officials.
Okay. Right.
What I plan to be in my administration, and so that your audience is clear, because I want them to know I'm answering the question, IPBO is the police union.
Yeah.
What I plan to be is not divisive. What I plan to be is
but
a
you are endorsed by them, and they contributed to your campaign as a part of that endorsement.
Listen, sir, I've raised over $350,000.
I didn't ask about $350,000. I asked specifically about the Atlanta Police Union.
And I want to make sure that your audience has it in context. I have raised over $350,000.
And the answer is yes.
Of that $350,000, the Atlanta Police Union wrote a check for $2,500.
Let's do this.
So do you suggest that $2,500
I ain't suggesting anything. I ask maybe you believe that it is buying you because the fact that you even raised that as an issue, those words, no ma'am, no ma'am, no ma'am, no ma'am, no ma'am, no ma'am, no ma'am. Now, what I've done is told the truth. Now, because you got to run off and leave, we can't get into many of those issues. Now, what we're not going to do, I'm going to give you a minute to close, but since you're master in overspeaking, I was going to ask you to give people your phone number, because people who are hearing this may say, hey, that's my girl. I want to vote for her. So I'm going to extend my time past 6 o'clock. My time is until 7, so I have another hour we could talk, but you got to go. You advised my producer you had to go somewhere else. So, Fonda Willis, thank you for coming on. I appreciate you. Now, tell people if they want to connect with your campaign, connect with you, support you, how do they reach you? How do they reach your campaign?
They can reach me.
I don't think
personally.
That's controversial at all. Now, let's give them your phone number, website, and how they can be in touch with you.
Yes, sir. They can be in touch with me at www.fonnie, you spell that FANIWILLIS.com. And they can call me at 404-855-5055. Again, that's www.fanIWILLIS.com. They can call me at 404-855-5055. They can also follow me on Facebook at Fonnie Willis for District Attorney. They are always welcome to inbox me and ask me any question. And I want you to know that I am so sorry that we got our wires crossed. I did call you at 4:57, excited to get on your show, but I understood you had something else. And I will be happy to come back either, Wednesday, Friday, Monday. I would love to make it happen. And it was an honor to be on your show today.
And it was an honor for you to be here. And all the best to you. Thank you, Fonnie Willis.